Then comes your return on investment. So now when you talk about return on investment, which is again, training used to do a lot. Training, when training interventions used to be there, the moment you do any sales training, they immediately ask, the business head asks, because the budget goes from the business, and the business head asks, what is my return on investment that you had done on the training? We have spent 5 lakhs on the training. Okay, come on, give me the return on investment on this. Okay, so comparing the cost of human resource initiative to the financial benefits that has occurred. Okay, so you have administered one initiative, you have rolled out one initiative. Okay, now what are the, so you have done all kinds of investments around, whether it is to do with the financials, whether it is to do with the resources, whether it is to do with the processes, you have done all of this. But now times the done and dusted, you have done already finished the initiative. Now the financial, what are the financial benefits achieved because of this initiative? So that's what is your return on investment. There is a return on investment formula as well, which we will talk in due course of time. Next is your HR cost monitoring. Now, to best calculate, take the total compensation of HR team. So for example, you have 5-member team, and let's just take a ballpark. Everybody gets a salary of 10,000 rupees every month. So their total cost of HR team is 50,000 rupees. And divide them by the number of peoples that are there in the organization's payroll. So total cost of the HR team divided by number of employees on the payroll gives you your HR cost monitoring. So that how much is HR's cost on the overall organization. Now MBO, we have already spoken about MBOs earlier, which is HR management by objectives. It was a technique introduced by Peter Drucker in 1954 as a way to manage the managers. It was developed and introduced on the pretext of developing and managing managers. The essence of this approach is purposeful. It is very, very goal-oriented, goal setting for a period of time, recording and monitoring of the goals. How well have you achieved? Where is it that you have fallen short? Where is it that you have done well? All of this entire goal setting exercises are being done here. Okay, so hence it is very, very purposeful. And in this approach, the HR function lays its goals and objectives and then assess its achievement against those. Then comes your HR case studies. So these are some of the case studies which are being showcased as a successful practice or an initiative, and it is recorded of specific audiences. Okay, so under this approach, any initiative, any practice that you had initiated and then it really went successful, you record those and you play it in front of specific audiences. So those are called as your HR case studies. Data on HR performance, employee views, inputs from participants of HR programs, these are used in developing the case studies. So all these are live that are being used. Okay, so they are not superficial data. It is not data which is very, very exemplary or something. This is an actual data. Okay, on the performance of HR, on the views of HR employees, different views that employees share, inputs from the participants. You reach out to the participants also, make it inclusive, and overall contribution by the employees to the program. So all these are part of the case study. Now HR KPIs, key performance indicators. It's also called as key success indicators. These are the metrics that an organization defines and measure achievements against them, right? So basis your KPIs, they have normally you have 3 to 4 KPIs when you join a role in an organization or when you're performing a role in an organization. Key measures are defined to reflect the major efforts of the HR function and may include accident frequency area rate, absenteeism rate, your turnover rate, average time for all to fill a position. All of these are your, it could be some of the key measures indicators. Okay, so HR key performance indicators is again one of the approaches that has been taken. Then profit center. I know this many organizations follows this, okay, and you actually create this whole HR unit as a profit center. Okay, so all the other departments who requires your HR services will actually have to pay for it. Okay, so it becomes like a cost center. So as a profit center approach is the this is one of the ultimate, because it becomes very empowering and it becomes very, very entrepreneurial in nature. So you do not just incur cost for the sake of, because now you are accountable, because it brings in a lot of accountability, because the business is giving you payment for this. Okay, over and above your what you're doing, you're not getting a company wide budget, but this budget is actually coming from the unit. So hence it is, and you are actually accounting for this entire profit that you're making in the center, in the unit. Okay, the fundamental premise in this is that the other functions will be charged for all the services that they utilize of HR. Then comes your HR effectiveness index. Now, what is this? Some organizations are trying to build a single composite index of effectiveness. They say that it has to be, they give a single set of index. They say that this is what should be the HRI index, like how you have your CSI index. You call it, 7.9 or 8.5 is your CSI index that you expect. So likewise, some organizations actually say that this should be the HRI index. For the HR department. So a comprehensive study involved 71 organizations across 8 industry segments. Some more approaches are human capital measurement or human resource accounting. This is something which is interesting. So in the 1960s and 70s, a new innovative approach to measurement was very, very popular. Where HRA, human resource accounting, became very, very popular, and everybody was talking about it. So a lot of people developed the understanding it, but it was not widely accepted. But a lot of people are talking about it, it gained a lot of popularity. But however, by the time it became 80s, it almost kind of faded up. So as organizations view knowledge and intellect capital is as a competitive advantage, this approach of measuring HR is gaining tremendous significance. So by 80s, it became a little slow, and it became it was almost diminishing. But as an organizational view, if you see, since it is gaining intellectual capital by this, and this is considered as to be a competitive advantage that an organization can have, so it can actually over a period of time be dealt with or be developed significantly industry-wide. Now, remember we spoke about the HR audits. Now we are talking about what does an HR audit facilitate. Now, HR audit facilitates the evaluation of the performance of the HR function. Okay, so it critically examines whether or not you have performed well as an HR. Okay, and whether you have been compliant with the laws, policies, procedures, everything. Contribution by the HR function to the organization's strategic objectives. Improvement in the function's image with management by demonstrating its impact on profits. Okay, so contribution by the HR function to the organization's strategic objective, which we have been talking day in and day out now. From chapter one, we have been talking about it, that how is HR contributing to the business imperatives. Improvement in the functions, HR functions overall image with the management by showcasing its impact on profits. Okay, so these are some of the facilitations which happens because of the these are some of the benefits that it happens because of the HR audit, that it helps you to showcase all of this. It shows that you're compliant with the laws and regulations. You as an HR function is contributing to the strategic objectives of the company. Your overall image has improved because you are significantly impacting the profits. So the finals, the essential steps of audit process, HR audit process. Initial briefing and the orientation. So the moment you are starting with the process, the first thing is the orientation and an induction of the process that you want to embark on and getting the buying in of the people. Second is scrutinize the information that you have. Okay, so all the available information needs to go through a scrutiny. Because it's all data, you have to scrutinize the entire data that is available with you. Then you go through employee surveying. You send out survey sheets, survey forms to fill up, and then you conduct the interviews. Once you're done with the survey, you do face-to-face interviews, telephonic interviews, and then you collate the information and synthesize it. And then finally, so when you collate the information, you also synergize, you also talk about the people and you calibrate it. Okay, and then you share and report all the information that you have gathered. Clear, everyone? You initiate, you do an introduction of the entire process, how it is going to be, what is it going to be, how it will look like at the end, what is the end of mind for this, what is the objective of this particular process, all of that. You scrutinize all the information that is available with you. Then you go through let the employees go through surveying, you conduct the interviews, information collation and synthesizing, sharing and reporting the information. Initial briefing and orientation. The HR audit process begins with the initial briefing and orientation step, which involves a preparatory meeting for team members and initial process is how typically it happens in every organization is very typical. So discussions on specific issues that needs to be considered, which could be critical, so which has to be taken care of by the team members who are associated in the project, agreeing and deciding upon the audit procedures, that what are the process, when it will start, when it will when will be a time lag that we will have, when is it that we are going to phase it out, how it is going to be implemented, and then how it is going to be presented and projected. So building plans and schedule of audit. So these are some of the steps that you would discuss in the initial briefing and orientation. Now, how would you scrutinize the available information? Now, once you have laid down the plans, you have put down the schedules, the roster of audit, a scanning of all information and data pertaining to the employees, employee handbooks, manuals, SOPs, guides, various forms, including, appraisal form, recruitment data, computer capabilities, and other related HR information. So all these needs to be scrutinized. All these needs to be fine-tuned, if at all, if there is any gap or anything. We just kind of put together this entire, all these informations in place. Now we move towards the survey. Once you have scrutinized the information, the data, more information is collected through surveying the employees. Now you send out the survey forms, okay? And then once the survey gives you the results, you need to be very, very tactful while designing those questions. It cannot have, sensitive questions. You need to, design tactfully from the scratch or by using the survey templates that are available in your organization. You just need to be very cognizant about the questions that you have. They cannot be very, very sensitive. Okay. Now you get to the phase where you conduct the interviews. Now, the critical aspect while conducting the interviews is the kind of questions that needs to be asked. Okay, what are the questions that you're going to ask in those interviews? So the key factors would include this. You will ask questions around, succession planning, training and development, performance management, planning, comp and ben, how is your compensation, how well is the communication by HR, special management projects, if any, human resource information systems, are you aware of that, relationship management, all of these questions around will be asked in the interviews. So these are some of the wide range of topics of major interest, which will be prepared either by the interviewer or by the audit team. So our interviewer can directly prepare it or the audit team can help them prepare it. Some critical processes while interviewing in order to questions to be asked is, one effective way for this is focused interview. So this is again one process of interview where you say that, you know, you say that, you know, this person comes from this department, so I will be doing a focused interview. He has a lot of exposure towards training and development, so my interview is going to be focused and I will be asking questions pertaining to that so that I get a lot of deep understanding, deep insights from that particular focus itself, that particular factor itself. Then comes the information collation and synthesizing. How do you do this? Post the data collection through secondary as well as your primary data, primary sources. Your collation happens. It has to present the scenario. What is it that we are in? The X position. Where do we stand in, as on today? What are the key priorities for the year? What are the different patterns that we have seen in the survey and the subsequent interviews? What are the issues that we have identified in these processes? This step will also identify the future needs, okay, which will also help you to identify the training needs, TNI. Developing approaches, criteria for highlighting the HR priorities and putting forth specific recommendations. So if at all you feel that there are some needs which has evolved and you need, which can be linked to your business objectives and imperatives, and you can highlight and you can say that, you know, you can put forward some specific recommendations if you see immediately. Sharing and reporting information. We have done the process of, we have completed the information collation and synthesization. Now we are talking about the next step, which is your sharing and reporting, the final step, which is sharing and reporting the information that you've gathered. So similar to the step one, involving discussions over meetings, you know, the outcomes where, you know, where you discuss the outcomes of the audit, numerous meeting rounds have happened with the managers and specialists, all these. So you'll have to do leadership listening. You'll have to do focus group meetings. So during this process, the issues that are crystallized are shared with the senior management via a formal report. So how will you disseminate this information? This information will be disseminated in the form of a report to the senior management. And regular follow-ups are required after an audit to find out whether the planned actions to resolve the problems have been identified during the audit process are being effective or not. So hence you have to do a regular follow-up to check and measure whether you have whatever you have suggested, whatever you have recommended are good enough or actionable enough to be able to implement. So audit report is a detailed elucidation of HR process. So there are various sections in the audit report. So there are three sections which are critical. And these three sections are, first section is the section for line managers, where your business understanding has been given, where is your field expert explanation has been given, field nuances, field exercises, processes, practices are being described here. The second section is the section for your specialist HR managers, okay, who are specifically doing a particular, say, for example, one who is a selection manager, one who is a competence manager. Now, the third one is your generalist HR managers, okay? So, let's see what each section has in place. So the first section, which is your section for line managers, this section of the report summarizes the HR objectives, okay, and responsibilities and the duties. So overall, the entire HR duties and responsibilities have been described and summarized, and some of the examples are your performance appraisal process, your interviewing applicants, developing subordinates, motivating workers, handling employee grievances. In this section, the people's issues are highlighted along with any kind of violations of protocols, if you have policies, if you have. So those and the employee reactions. So this is basically for the line to understand what is it that holds in HR overall. Okay, what are the activities that he's talking about? What are the activities? What are the objectives that the HR has? What are the responsibilities that they're working on? What are some of the examples that they've shared? So it has such detailed informations. The second step of the audit report is the section for specialist HR managers, as I mentioned to you. This section will handle feedback to this functional specialist. Situation was a particular case was not handled well, a particular training did not do well, a compensation of a particular person was not designed well enough, hence he has quit and joined somewhere else very quickly. Okay, so this is for the specialist HR managers, and this report also focuses on other feedbacks like beliefs and attitude of the line managers about the HR specialist that work. Okay, so what line managers feel about the HR specialists. Now the section for generalist HR managers. So this section of the report it contains all the information which was provided in the section 1 and the section 2. Okay, so both the line managers and the HR specialist managers. In addition, the HR manager gets a feedback about attitude of the line managers and employees regarding the benefits and services that the organization provide, that the services of it, that how your services and our initiatives of HR department is working around. It also has the analysis of the HR functions, objectives, and the plans to accomplish them. Are they doing good job enough? Are the plans effective enough? Are they working as per they have decided or as per they have shared with the employees? The various HR issues and their implications. What are some of the implications? What are some of the tangibilities that they have seen which are not working well at all? Okay, what are some of the issues that they're going through? HR is probably not working on some benefits, not encashing the cash, encashing the leaves, privileged leaves, any kind of HR issues that they have. Suggestions for requisite alterations along with the prioritization of their implementation. Okay, so any kind of suggestions that they want to be made to be able to prioritize their implementation. Then comes your benchmarking, which we have spoken about it earlier. It forms another approach to assessing HR performance, and it is very, very important for bringing about quality improvements in processes. Okay, so hence it is one of the most important approaches to measuring effectiveness. It is increasingly being seen as a critical for survival of the HR department. Hence the words caution lies in adapt and not adopting. Okay, so it talks about more adaptation than the adoption to understand, because adoption you can do many, but what is it, how are you adapting to the changing norms, changing situation? As to understand the real basis behind each practice, that why is it done, what is the objective of each initiative that you have taken on hand, and adjust it according to specific needs of the organization and then implement it. Now is the types of benchmarking. So there are two types of benchmarking, internal benchmarking and your external benchmarking. Further, it has been distilled into these three processes: your process benchmarking, performance benchmarking, and strategic benchmarking. So these are the three elements of benchmarking which is comprised, which could be further distilled from the elements of, it could be an external benchmarking, it could be an external internal or an external benchmarking. However, you'll have to take cognizance of these three parameters: how the process was, how are they performing, and what are the strategic thinking, what are the strategic objectives that has been put across. What are the advantages of benchmarking? Benchmarking can be seen as a way for an organization to become competitive, because if you do not do benchmarking, how will you realize where you stand in front of competition? So it helps you to become very, very give a competitive edge to your competitors. By looking at what other competitive organizations are doing, they can identify own areas of improvement. The moment you realize that the growing companies are doing X amount of initiatives, these are some of the best practices that they've done, and what are some of the areas of improvement that we have that we can also become, give a competition to them. The change process gets accelerated with the help of available best practices models from similar companies. Okay, so you do model to model, apple to apple comparison, and you pick up the best practices, best practice models from similar companies within the industry, and guiding the whole change process and initiate the change process. So there are, when you talk about benchmarking process, there are seven essential phases in benchmarking process. So during this phase, the HR function lays down the specifics of the benchmarking project. So they put together, they put the literature together that what are some of the imperatives they are working on the project of benchmarking. Okay, so the phase one says that you establish the benchmark focus. You, in this phase, you lay down the entire specifics, you make everyone aware. Basically, you make everyone aware of the project. Okay, so that's what is your establishing the benchmark focus. The second phase is your, when you plan, once you've established the focus, then you work on planning and researching. So you research research and prepare the resources that you require to be able to work on this particular project. Okay, so you plan the research and you prepare the resources that are required for conducting the benchmarking research. So you have to prepare, so you have to take the necessary approvals, you have to create the readiness level, you need to train, if at all you have to train the resources, all of that. You have to prep the resources basically to be able to conduct the, and make them ready to be able to conduct the benchmarking research. Then you get into the phase three, which is your collection of data. So during this phase, the HR function collects information from other companies and related sources with the help of research tool devised in phase two. So in the phase two, what you've done is you've already decided which tool you're going to use for research. Okay. And then in the collection, what you do is, in this phase, you collect the, you, using the tool, you collect relevant information from the companies that you've identified, and you finalize the tool and you kind of collect the data. And the phase four, you do the data analytics. Okay, you do the analysis, detailed analysis of the data, and you have to be very, very cognizant about it, because it is the various statistical tools have to be used in order to examine and generate the findings. Okay, so this is where you will do a data analysis. And then is your stage five, phase five, where you in the phase five, you recommend improvement. Okay, so you have seen what are you in the analysis, you have come up with the, you have generated the findings already. Now you recommend the necessary improvements. Okay, now in this phase, the analyzed data is used to identify areas of improvement. And here you develop recommendations which again link it to the business strategy, okay, for improvement based on the information collected regarding the HR practices of other organizations. Now you have seen, you have found out that, okay, when we did the comparative analysis, when we did the benchmarking survey of the comparable organization, so this is what we have found. So we need to pack up, and we need to probably strengthen these areas, and these are some of the new initiatives that we can imbibe, probably just because of the fact that, not because of the fact that it is done by our competitive organization, but because of the fact that our competitive organization has done it, but however they have brought in impact, this particular business impact has been observed post this initiative, so hence we are working on it. So that's the analysis that you do, and post this analysis, that's the recommendation that you do. Sixth phase, you implement the recommendations now. Now, here the HR function studies the feasibility of the recommendation. Now, you have recommended it, but the budgets are, you know, skyrocketing. You are not able to implement those, okay? So, now you have to, so whatever you have recommended, you need to work on the feasibility. Okay, and finally implement those if at all it's visible, and if at all it is critical to the organization. You can see, you can show a lot of business impact, you definitely go ahead, take the necessary budgets and do it. But if you feel that the impact won't be, impact is going to be only long term, it's not a quick win that we can see, so probably you can, you know, still think, and you know, whether you want to do, you may probably just recommend and leave it to the management to decide. The last phase, which is your phase 7, monitoring the progress. So any goal setting or anything that we work on, you always have to monitoring. We always have to check and measure the progress, whether we are in the right direction or not. The action taken towards improvement and kept under track with regular reviews and checks on progress. This is done to ensure the impact of actions taken. It is also observed if the proposed changes are moving in the desired direction and the anticipated goals are achieved. Okay, so hence we need to see whether if we need to ascertain our X and Y journey. We were at X and we were to reach Y basis these new initiatives. Okay, now we after a period of time we are monitoring how the progress is happening, and then we are checking. We realize that we are still in X position. We are not even close to Y, which means the actions that have been taken were not impactful enough. So we need to again go back to the drawing board and probably redesign and rejig the whole initiative. Okay, so if it's not moving in a desired direction, you might have to do course corrections. The few words of caution with respect to benchmarking. These are some of the words of caution. This should not be a fishing expedition. It must be careful and kept away from any legal hassles. So hence, while you're doing the benchmarking, you have to be cognizant about these words of caution. Involve the people who will be responsible for making the changes. Ensure that the data collection is kept confidential. All of that. Now comes your ROI approach. The return on investment approach, which we have already discussed mildly earlier. Now we will get into the details of it. The return on investment process is a balanced approach to measure the bottom line impact of HR initiatives. It works well in organizations across the globe, particularly in high budget and resource constrained situations today. Okay, so if you already have ROI processes in place, it's a very, very balanced approach and to be able to measure your bottom line impact of HR initiatives. It works well in organizations. Globally, it works well, particularly when you have high budgets and resource constraints. Situation today, as I mentioned to you, that I used to work in very, very minuscule budgets. So now the budgets have gone higher, but still there are organizations which are struggling for HR budget. So in that case, it is very, very relevant. The framework, the ROI framework. Now, building a credible approach for calculating the ROI requires solving and integrating several pieces of an evaluation puzzle. Okay, so it has lots and lots of data here. So there are five most important elements as described and explained by Jack Phillips and Patricia Phillips. The framework. Now, this is the framework which works here. An evaluation framework. So these are the five, as I mentioned, five elements of the approach. An evaluation framework, which is the type, what type of data that we are working on. A process model, a systematic process. What are some of the standard operating procedures that we will follow with a complete conservative philosophy. Applications and practice, a quick success where we will see a lot of quick wins, where we'll apply and we will immediate showcase. And then implementation, which is the full rollout. So an evaluation framework. Now, when we talk about evaluation framework, it is the kind of data that we are, the type of data that we are working on. So it requires, to define the different levels of evaluation that we are going through, which indicates how the data is captured at different times from different sources. Okay, so what is the process of collection of data, different data from different people? And what is the framework? A process model, which is a systematic one. The process is complex as the data is developed at different times and gathered from different sources. So the data is all over the place. Okay, it is developed at one source and it has been gathered from different sources. Thank you so much.